Good evening, everybody. Apologies for the delay. A few technical difficulties getting started. Those of you guys that know me know that Dan's not a massive fan of tech, and at least Robert's upside down, which makes me feel a lot better today. So, kind of all clouds have a silver lining. But apologies for the delay, guys. Just had a bit of a problem signing in here. So, welcome to today. As always, I'm going to hand over to Mats to begin with to get this show on the road. I've got a, as you guys know, a wonderful presentation for you today. So, kind of, I'll hand over to Mats and then we'll get started, guys.
All right, let's do this. Who do we got here? Robert, great to see you. John, as always. Nate, good morning from the future. Lewis, and then we have a couple others off screen. Okay, awesome, guys. Let's kick off. Not too much from me today for housekeeping, so we'll go through it pretty quickly here before passing it over to Coach Dan. As most of you know, if not all of you, Dan's going to be presenting on closing the execution gap. And the key takeaway tonight will be how to fully take ownership of execution. I couldn't tell you guys how many times I've seen a client that wants the perfect plan and then lacks action and execution once they have it. So this would be a good one. Before we dive into that, quick shout out to all of the lovely individuals that are current clients who will be joining us in 9 days in Tampa. So, a big thank you to everybody for the commitment and for believing in us when it comes to hosting these in-person events. Obviously, you guys will be the ones who are thankful once you go through it. And once you go through it, you'll see exactly why I'm saying that. So, looking forward to seeing you guys there. And speaking of muscle camp and events, as most of you have probably already seen, we just launched the interest list for Costa Rica nice and early. So I think there have been over easily 200 people in the last 4, 5, 6 months that have asked me, when's Costa Rica coming back? When's Costa Rica coming back? I think I've had it like up to here now with inbound messages and emails about Costa Rica. So we wanted to get it to you guys as soon as possible. We're in March. And we're planning for the first week, tentatively planning for the first week of December. So the interest list is live, and we're already over 50 individuals who have expressed interest in attending. It might end up being invite only. So my advice is, I'd encourage you to submit your interest form as soon as possible if there's a possibility that you'd like to attend, just so that we can capture that interest as soon as possible. And then act accordingly from there. For those of you that don't have that interest list, I believe I have it here. So I'll drop it in the chat if there's anybody on the call that would like to submit. And then last but not least, where's my little slide here? I'm getting so many messages now if we made it into the meeting. All right, cool. And then last but not least, I'm going to give a quick shout out to our wonderful podcast affiliates, Bio Optimizers. You guys have probably heard Ben mention Bio Optimizers at one point or another in our content, maybe on a podcast episode or on social media, perhaps in an email. These guys have a lot of great top quality products, very clean stuff, especially for anything digestion related. So one of their golden standard products is called Massozymes, and you guys can use the code MUSCLE10 to save some money if you're gonna dive into something like that. I would first encourage you, of course, to chat with your coach just to make sure that that's suitable to your plan, and valuable to your purpose and your protocols. But if it is, don't forget to use that code MUSCLE10. And if you do forget, just shoot me a quick email at Mati@muscleintelligence.com, and I'll pass you the code if you need it one more time. That's it for me. Over to Dan.
Thank you very much, as always, Matt. So again, for those of you guys that have just joined, welcome again. Welcome the fake Ben Pekulski. Obviously, I'm a real one this evening, brother. So Welcome. So yeah, as you guys know, today's call is going to be very much around kind of bridging the execution gap. So as you guys that have heard me before, and for those of you guys that are new to hearing me speak, I always provide a little presentation with a few talking points. An important kind of house rules is if you have questions, just unmute yourself and ask questions. If any questions pop up, any bottlenecks, any sort of questions while I'm going through the slides, because I'm going to share my screen and I won't have you all visible, please do unmute yourself and just drop a question in, because I'm sure throughout the webinar, there's going to be a few questions that pop up. So the new guys, don't be afraid to speak up. Obviously, you're in a community full of peers here. And kind of, I'm sure if you're experiencing a problem, there'll be somebody else on the call experiencing that problem. So sharing is caring, and just make sure that you guys are all as verbal as possible if necessary. So I'm just going to share my screen now, and then we will get going. Oops, so stop share there. So share screen. Can you see that, Max? Because I can see you on my screen. Is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, did you smash the record button at the beginning?
Yes, all recording, buddy.
Cool. Thank
Okay, so today, just to give you a little synopsis, guys, to get going, today's not really about basic education. The goal of today's webinar is very much around exploring behavioral activation. Okay, so with this presentation, I've tried to blend, as you guys know, I love my psychology, a bit of neuroscience, some behavior change science, and then also finishing off with some identity psychology. So kind of leading into our philosophy here at MI. So obviously resilience, ownership, and systems. So what we're going to try and do today is connect directly to the bottlenecks most men face, which is typically execution. So moving into the first slide, I've started with a bit of home truth. The home truth is most men in this room already know how to transform your body. So you all know protein matters. You all know lifting matters, sleep matters, stress matters. Alcohol hurts results, and consistency wins. Yet most men that come into the process and need our help just don't execute consistently. So the big question to start this webinar off today is, it's not what should I do, because you guys already know that. The question is primarily, we just let Larry in. The question primarily is, why am I not doing what I already know? Today, it'll be my goal to solve that, obviously, with a few kind of tidbits in there to make sure that you get the most out of this call. So, in my view, when it comes to why we don't do it, because let's face it, we live in a world today where information doesn't mean transformation. So, we live in a world where there's an abundance of information out there, but typically, kind of, well, I'd say the most informed generation in human history when it comes to information out there. And we can typically learn anything through a load of different modalities out there at the moment. So your chat GPTs and those sort of search engines. But yeah, obesity, low testosterone, and things like metabolic disease are exploding. In my opinion, this simply happens because information doesn't change behavior. Behavior changes when three systems align, okay? Biology, psychology, and environment. If any one of these are broken, in our opinion, then execution is typically going to fail. So, as I've said, there's an abundance of information, but how do we then put that all together, including biology, psychology, and environment, to ensure that we've got a steadfast system for all three of these to be able to execute, and most importantly, get the results all you guys are looking for? The real problem, in my opinion, and kind of most of my peers' opinion here at MI, is going to be biological resistance. So typically, our bodies are not neutral. It's either constantly pushing towards energy conservation or survival. And throughout our life, the brain will typically evolve to prioritize things like comfort, calorie storage, and risk avoidance. This is where typically, for those of you guys are going through this at the moment, this is where transformation feels quite difficult. Not because you're weak, not because you're bad at anything, not because obviously through psychology you think you're rubbish at something. It's because your biology is typically working against you. So for us to try and find a link, how we put all those pieces of puzzles together to get the most out of everything. In my opinion, motivation itself is not a personality trait. It will typically be a neurochemical process that's derived by dopamine signaling. Okay, so we all know, and those of you guys that have spoken to me, heard me speak before about dopamine. And for those of you guys that are new on the call, dopamine is typically going to control things like drive, pursuit, focus, willingness to exert effort. And low dopamine states will typically create a state of procrastination, potential overwhelm, lack of energy, low drive. So this is why, in my opinion, that fixing your biology matters. Because if we don't sort out kind of the bad dopamine chasers, which we spoke about, and you guys have heard Ben before, and we focus on the dopamine effort that kind of helps drive control and that pursuit and focus, then we're batting on an uneven pitch. So looking at essentially biological resistance is something that's going to be important. So I'll put a phrase at the top here, just alluding to the energy availability problem. So most of you guys and most of the guys that come into our ecosystem are trying to transform a body while creating massive energy stress. Okay, so common examples of what I derive as energy stress is going to be things like a busy job, a busy household, poor sleep, low calories, high caffeine intake. Okay, so our body kind of synergistically will interpret this as survival stress. So that typically will result in things biologically in regard things like elevated cortisol, reduced thyroid output, suppressed testosterone, and also going back to the previous example, kind of reduced dopamine. So your brain will literally reduce motivation. So understanding kind of that energy continuum and understanding how being able to look at what you're currently doing and identifying the almost the blind spots, because most of the guys that I work with and most of the guys you guys have heard me speak on the last call around the 16-hour audit and curating that 16-hour audit that best serves each and every individual specifically is super important. So curating a system that works for you is going to be vital in this process, because I often say to clients that are new into the ecosystem is I have hundreds of different methodologies when it comes to training. I have hundreds of different methodologies when it comes to nutrition, lifestyle optimization, but each one of them doesn't really matter unless it fits and we're able to analyze what's going on in the systems around them and it fits and it doesn't become an extra stressor, because we know kind of training itself is going to be an acute stressor. What we don't want to happen is add load to that system if it's chronic stress elsewhere. So being able to manipulate the variables and kind of have everything working synergistically is typically what we're trying to create. Okay, so the next point on there is the stress bucket. So think of your stress, and Ben said this before, your stress like a bucket. Each time you stress, the bucket fills. So again, examples of stressors going back to the last point, things like poor sleep, alcohol, even training can be a stress if not used properly in conjunction with everything else that's going on in your life. As I mentioned, it should be an acute stressor. We go up, we come down. But typically, if you're adding more stress into that system, you're leading yourself down a slippery path, sorry. Then we move into things like work stress, inflammation, even examining environment, and we'll go through environment a little bit in a little bit later on, but looking at home life. So quite often kind of talking about relationships with significant others, children, family members, etc., is going to be super important. And examining and being able to self-examine which areas stress you the most and which areas kind of add to your stress and don't kind and pour into your bucket as opposed to start to help you empty the bucket. So typically when the bucket overflows, what will happen internally is your nervous system is going to downregulate. And it doesn't just downregulate and kind of move back up and down depending on how you're feeling in any given day. This takes time. So most of you guys that are on this call will have gone through periods of your life where you've been highly stressed, and just the simplest of challenges feel like a mountain to climb. And understanding that interrelationship with your nervous system is going to be vitally important. And kind of looking at that autonomic nervous system, which has the main two branches, which is your sympathetic and parasympathetic. Again, those of you that have heard me speak before, which is a lot of you, but those of you who haven't, we have two main branches to your nervous system. We have fight and flight, which is your sympathetic, and then rest and digest, which is your parasympathetic. And we want to be making sure that we spend at least 2/3 of your time or your day, probably even a little bit more, in that parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest. And any prolonged periods of sympathetic dominance is going to have a downstream effect in just even menial tasks. So I'm not just talking specifically around training. I'm talking about interpersonal relationships, communication, ability to just complete the simplest of tasks. So getting a little bit of autonomy over that nervous system and taking one of my favorite Ben phrases of kind of being able to control that arousal state is super important. So when your nervous system typically downregulates, this is when our system is going to focus on increasing resilience instead of adding more stress. Okay. So that brings us nicely into obviously the four resiliency model. And I wanted to bring this back up because it's an important part of kind of being able to close that execution gap, which is the title of this show. So just want to give you guys all a refresher. I'm sure you all know these, but it's always good to go over and kind of be able to examine when we look at the end part, where I give you a task to do over the next 30 days to understand the resilience model. So obviously starting at the top, we've got physical capability, which is typically our body's ability to move, lift, run, and function without pain. So our focus in this kind of resilience is strength, mobility, movement quality, structural balance, and the goal is to maintain or improve what your body can physically do as you age. So that'll be physical resilience. Then we move into metabolic flexibility, which is our body's ability to efficiently use fuel and regulate energy. So our focus in this resilience is going to be things like blood sugar control, gut health, hormones, nutrient absorption, and also mitochondrial health. And our goal in this resilience is typically to eat normally, maintain energy, improve body composition, and health overall. Okay, so there's a few markers with that. Moving into physiological resistance, that will typically be our body's ability to adapt to stress and most importantly, recover. Those of you guys that have heard me speak before, how important recovery is in any goal. So whether it be fat loss, whether it be a functional goal, whether it's a sport-specific goal, whether it's a body composition goal, your body's ability recovery is so understated when it comes to what we do and as we age. I can't stress enough how important that is. And kind of, you guys know that whole thesis, those of you guys that have trained for years, that whole train more, train more, train more. It's training effectively, essentially, but making sure we only train as much as our body can recover from. So, again, examples of stress in this resilience is going to be things like training, lack of sleep, work stress, illness. And again, think of this as our stress bucket. So going into the previous slide, your physiological resistance is that stress bucket. The bigger the bucket, the more stress you can handle without breaking down, essentially. And then the last one is psychological resilience. So it's our mental strength and ability to handle challenges. So our focus in this resilience will typically be things like confidence, emotional control, which is a big one for a lot of men that I know, myself included. Discipline, which going back to a couple of webinars ago, we had a full kind of 40 minutes on discipline and then willingness to face discomfort. Because as again, sorry to keep mentioning you, Ben, but I take a lot of your phrases, but doing the hardship, right? Our ability to face discomfort builds psychological resilience. And unfortunately, in my opinion, we're living in a world of weakened men, shall we say, to put it politely. Whereas kind of being able to embrace discomfort and step into the hard stuff is certainly something that has helped me and helped a lot of my clients build that psychological resilience. So without this, men typically will become quite cynical, fearful, and reactive instead of decisive and strong, which is exactly where we want to be. And any of these that are kind of falling by the wayside, execution is going to collapse because more often than not, our brain is going to prioritize survival over discipline. Okay, so really kind of getting into the crux of the four resiliences, which are all over our social media, emails that Ben sent, and really kind of analyzing where you guys are at in regards to those four resiliences is super important. And I'm sure you all are with your coaches working through Q1 on one of those in particular, but really making sure there's a nice little kind of breadth of all of those being worked on at every phase is going to be super important. Okay. So the testosterone myth. So most men think motivation comes from testosterone, but again, in my opinion, testosterone is mostly a downstream marker of health. So what it typically reflects is body fat, inflammation, reduced insulin sensitivity, poor sleep quality, stress load. So high body fat is typically going to increase aromatase activity, which will convert testosterone to estrogen. So it'll have rather than it being anabolic, it has more of a catabolic effect, which was going to change energy, drive, and body composition. So again, understanding that when we look at the whole axis of the body, the testosterone is at the bottom. There's a lot of things that we can affect upstream that are going to have an effect on expression, stress being a massive one of those. So understanding that motivation doesn't naturally come from testosterone and kind of preserving testosterone by doing everything above that is going to be super important in regards to your ability to execute. And again, going back to kind of psychological resilience, we want to be in a position where in every area of our life, we are decisive and strong. We make decisions, we commit, we execute. Okay. And in my opinion, kind of making sure that we protect all those systems within our body is going to be conducive to that. And you'll usually find a few kind of blind spots when analyzing clients and yourselves, what you're not doing, which is going to have a kind of negative effect on that. So I've put a nice slide in here, which kind of just talks a little bit about kind of hidden contraindications of stress. So the first one typically is inflammation. So again, for those of you guys that are potentially highly stressed and haven't done that self-analysis where you kind of look at areas of your life where we want to be managing that stress bucket a little bit more, chronic inflammation typically will damage things like mitochondria, hormone signaling, which if we go back to the previous slide of testosterone, things like cellular energy. So where does inflammation typically come from? Again, without hammering home the same points, poor sleep, alcohol, poor diet, toxins, things like gut dysfunction. So inflammation itself is going to suppress natural production of testosterone and also metabolic health. And again, I would throw kind of gut function into there as well, because those of you who heard the phrase kind of the gut's a second brain, and with any element of poor digestive health, you'll find that kind of there's a marker. And kind of with what I've studied, any kind of metabolic disease kind of starts with poor gut function and high stress load. There isn't anything out there that kind of typifies that. But again, if we can manage, again, the expression of our gut microbiome, but also manage stress, kind of it's a surefire way, inclusive of your training and nutrition, surefire way to hopefully stave off any sort of metabolic diseases moving forward. And again, this is a side note from things like genetics and all those sort of things. We can add all those into the mix as well in things that we could potentially be predisposed to. But managing stress, managing sleep, managing recovery, training well are all going to kind of help give you the best opportunity to live long and healthy lives, essentially. Okay. Then we move into insulin resistance. So, again, when insulin resistance develops, the easiest way to explain it is your body typically will become a storage machine, sorry. So it's going to prioritize fat storage instead of fat burning. So when early stage insulin resistance kind of occurs, again, the linchpins to it can be things like overeating, again, poor sleep, inactivity, and also stress. So far tonight, you're hearing, or today, this afternoon, should I say, so far you're hearing stress come up a lot. Okay, so when you're highly stressed, you're not sleeping very well, you're not recovering, that's typically going to create constant fat storage signaling, which again, for those of you guys that all have hopes of kind of good body composition, lean, athletic, again, it's a contraindication to that. So it's one of those things that we want to be very much aware of. And then the last point, I can't get away from sleep. As you guys know, love talking about sleep. Okay. I believe it is one of the biggest hidden performance levers. So sleep is going to control things like testosterone production, insulin sensitivity, recovery, but also things like cognitive performance. Because if we look at sleep and we break it down, obviously you guys know you've got kind of almost four phases of sleep. But if we look in particular at things like deep sleep, that's going to drive physical repair and recovery. And then your REM sleep typically will drive brain recovery and emotional regulation. So all my guys on this call know that I get you to have a wearable, track your sleep, send me the data, and we're looking for specific percentage times in certain phases of sleep. And what we're looking and it is an ideal for me with my guys, and for those of you guys that haven't heard me say this before, I'm typically looking for less than 10% of our total sleep awake, anywhere between 40 and 50% of our total sleep time in light sleep. And then 20 to 25% in both deep and REM, which typically we'll be looking if we can get in excess of a minimum of an hour of deep and REM, and we go over that, then I'd be happy. Obviously, it's all curtailed by sleep timing and how long you typically sleep for. You know the adage, we'd like you to sleep for 8 hours again, but for me, it's very much quality over quantity. And if you can only get in 7 hours, let's try to make it as efficient 7 hours as possible. So from a sleep hygiene routine, from it may be supplements, it may be kind of winding down in an evening. So kind of prioritizing sleep is super important, because we know poor sleep will typically lead to poor decision making, low, which again, when it comes to food, but just operational day-to-day life, low motivation. And also, it can drive up things like cravings. So those of you guys that the linchpin is potentially food control, if you're not sleeping very well, you can be damn sure that your decision making around food will be slightly impaired. It's not an excuse. Again, everything that I'm speaking about today is all stuff that you guys know, but it's important you take ownership of. And if we're all being honest on this call, there's going to be certain parts of what I've spoke through so far today where you guys are lacking and potentially just falling a little bit short. And today is very much around self-analysis and understanding that the closing the execution gap is a simple equation. It's a simple answer. It's down to you guys. So your ability to understand, identify, be honest from a self-audit standpoint, and then execute and kind of revamp the things that aren't linear. Okay. The main say the main point, but one of the points that I think is important that, again, I'm sorry to keep going over it, but you guys have heard me say before, because it was a previous slideshow in regards to identity. I'm very big on identity and understanding kind of why your identity must match your goals. Because people talk a very good game, and I've seen it with clients previously, but when they come in, they do the polar opposite. And that's not down to the fact that they don't want to, or they're not determined to change. It's just it down to the fact is their identity doesn't match their goals. So they'll typically say they want to be lean, but internally and psychologically, they believe they're a guy that struggles with weight, or I struggle to measure my food, or I struggle to stick to a nutrition plan when I'm out socializing with clients 3 or 4 nights a week. So the intention is there, but their identity doesn't match the goals, because that internal dialogue is speaking the total opposite to what we want to elicit, essentially. So identity will typically drive behavior until identity changes. Okay. And again, that's no by no means a bad thing, but understanding how important identity is. And if you're one of those guys that talks a very good game but still struggles, the problem isn't in your desire to change, it's in that identity. Okay, so until identity changes, results will always remain temporary. They'll be up, down, and I'm sure everybody on this call has been through a phase where they've lost some, put some on, lost some. And typically, it might not be down to the mechanics of the plan. It's potentially all tied into that internal dialogue and potentially that identity. Okay, so identity will also drive standards. So, in our opinion, World-class results require world-class standards. And I'm a stickler for standards. I'm a stickler for routine. I'm a stickler for structure. Nat will probably be laughing now because any time out of a kind of filter, I'm a mess because I know what the standards that I hold myself to. Okay. The question for me is not, do I feel motivated today? The question is always, is this aligned with the man that I am becoming and I want to be? So there isn't a choice. I don't have time to think. I don't have time to kind of question myself. Again, I'll repeat that. Do I feel motivated today? No. Okay, that isn't kind of the question that I ask myself on a day-to-day basis. It's very much, is this aligned with the man I'm becoming? Standards will create consistency. Operational excellence is super important. And those of you that sit here say, oh, well, there might be a bit of monotony, it's boring. Okay, that's a you problem. So understanding that anybody that you speak to that's successful or further ahead on the continuum on the road that you want to be, whether it be business, whether it be kind of composition, whether it be family, all sorts of different reasons. Again, you will find the difference between you and them if you're not where they want to be is your standards. Okay, now for me, kind of tying your identity to that is super important. Okay, so the last point in regards to kind of identity and why I feel most plans fail is because they'll typically add stress. And going back to kind of what I said earlier, what I do with a lot of my clients, it's not a case of me throwing methodologies at them because that's the best program or that's the best nutrition. Okay, it's about strategically putting something together and making this part of the continuum, the physical part of the continuum, a priority. Because most people, when they're highly stressed, they've got stuff on with the children or with the family or with work, which by no means is should be a lower priority, but they don't prioritize this part of the continuum. And most plans typically fail is because, again, there's no 16-hour audit in place, so you're not finding the time, but most importantly, you're not prioritizing. I've had quite a few conversations over the last few weeks with clients that, unfortunately, because stress has ramped up and a lot of things have happened, they've put themselves last. And it might be kind of showing up for a business event. It might be showing up for some sort of family event. And my simple explanation to them is, how can you show up as the best version of yourself if you haven't trained, you haven't done your cardio, and you've not ate well? And understanding that how deeply rooted this part of the continuum in is into every other thing that you value highly. As a father, I've said my son's 21. Kind of me being in better health and shape than him. I'm 40 now, he's 21. When I'm 45, 50, 55, 60, and as he ages, my goal is always to be on par or in better shape than because I know that kind of they're my standards. And most importantly, kind of I want to be an inspiration for him. And every man on this call, if you have children, you have people that rely on you, you're all the patriarchs of your family, it's important to inspire. And kind of failure to kind of build this into your life and make this a high value is at your costs. Okay. And I digress a little bit, but typically when plans fail, they will add a lot more stress. So it might be more cardio, which means that you have to spend more time, might be less food, more restriction. So these sort of changes work temporarily. So kind of understanding from a phasic perspective how to strategically plan things in and understanding the amount of time you have on any given day and making that work. I think it was Ben that said a few while ago on one of his podcasts, quite a few podcasts ago, he makes 3 hours of his day for his own stuff, whether it be training with the kids, etc. And everybody has time. Nobody is time poor. There is everybody, some of the busiest men kind of in the world, still make time to prioritize the physical component in their own health because they know it allows them to show up as the best version of themselves for the people who rely on them. Okay. So kind of using time as an issue, you guys have heard me say before, isn't something that I would accept, shall we say, in regards to kind of an excuse. Okay. So what we try to do and kind of to summarize this within the ecosystem here, what we try to do from an approach perspective is instead of increasing stress, what we're trying to do with all of you guys is increase the adaptation capacity. So we build things like muscle, mitochondrial health, metabolic flexibility, resistance. So rather than running away from stress, this is going to allow the body to handle stress without breaking down. Because if we go back to resiliences, we need the body to be put under some duress, but to be able to handle it. We're not overshooting and overfilling the bucket, but putting you into a position of adaptation and being able to adapt that capacity is super important. So what we want to do ideally is allow the body to be able to handle stress without breaking down. Okay. So for me, environmentally, and touching on the point I mentioned earlier on, kind of willpower in its essence on its own is unreliable. Okay. Quite often, more often than not, should I say, environment will typically determine behavior. So an example for that, bad environment. So let's say you're surrounded by alcohol in your house, there's visible junk food, you have a very poor sleep hygiene routine or a very poor sleep setup. Okay. All that's going to do is essentially determine your behavior because you're not going to be able to resist forever. And environment is important, and that's the actual physical environment, but the people you spend your time with, where you, the people you give your energy to, which is again, it's a bit of a dichotomy because sometimes you're surrounded by people in working environment that aren't conducive to your goals, but you get the option of how you spend your break times and those sort of things and who you connect with. So it, when we've got a bad environment, kind of it's going to determine your hate behavior. But also on the flip side to that, if we optimize our environment, then that's going to also be important. So I like to look at kind of sleep hygiene as the main one and kind of curate. I often say for those of you guys that have got day-to-day jobs, shall we say, or work typically 8 till 4, 8 till 5, 9 till 5, et cetera, what you can create in regards to optimized environment is you can control the first 2 or 3 hours of your day. You can control the last 2 or 3 hours of your day. There's going to be some disruption if your day's always flipping and flopping during the day, but what can you control? Don't try to, you can control your break times. You can control your working environment in regards to, I used a simple thing with a client the other day, in regards to his desk. I said to him, send me a photo of your desk. The desk, it was like a bomb site. It was like a bomb site. It was organized. He described it as organized chaos. And I said to him, clean your desk up because a clean desk is a clean mind, right? So his environment externally and what he was looking at while he was at his desk for 8 hours a day wasn't optimized. Although he was described it as organized chaos, the clue's in the word chaos. So his brain and what he's seen all day is chaos. So we organized it, and I haven't spoke to him since I called last week, but I'm hoping that he comes back and says that he's felt much better, much calmer, more present. Kind of just clearing those things up. So curating your environment is super important. So I said about sleep, things like morning light exposure, structured meal timing. You know I love a meal time, and you know I love things to be linear. Even though I work from home and I'm here on my laptop working most of the day, I have my meals at the same time every single day because what that does, it gives me that environment. It gives me the consistency to build momentum, which undoubtedly builds results. Okay, so small environmental shifts can create massive behavioral change. So I don't want you to underhear that point is have a look at your environment now. Have a look at your environment tomorrow at work and start to curate the positive changes that are leading towards the man you want to be. And they will help drive positive action. I will guarantee you of that. Okay, so for me, kind of, well, I'm going to call, if I wanted to almost add a name to it, let's call it the comfort trap. Okay. So for me, today's society and modern life kind of removes discomfort. It embraces the easy life and everything wanting to be simple. But as I said to you in previous slides, I want you to embrace kind of and go off a beaten keel. 95% of the population remove discomfort, but I want you to be the 5% that embrace discomfort and kind of challenge because again that's what's going to create more positivity in you. Kind of food is constant, movement is often optional. So we live in a very comfortable world. Okay, when we look at things like TVs and kind of Netflix and all these other things that we've got, entertainment is endless. Okay, Your brain is going to adapt to that. So understand neurologically that your brain will typically, if you're surrounded by those sort of things, it's going to adapt to that, shall we call it comfort addiction? Okay. So again, being able to self-analyze and understand which of these traps you fall into is going to start to close that execution gap because you start to take control. And there's nothing more powerful than a man that's in control. And I'm talking the control of everything. I'm not talking control freak where you're overriding everything, but all everything within reason that leads towards a greater goal for yourself. Self-discipline and discipline is going to require to reverse some of the things that you unconsciously do and you've been unconsciously doing for a long period of time. And again, this is not a slight or kind of saying that I never watch TV or vote, but it all has its place. Those of you guys on the call last week will have heard me and Nat talk about kind of Peaky Blinders. Fun story, Nat, just for your reference, Matt's just texted me. Matt started watching Peaky Blinders, so we've got another fan. But yeah, kind of what I said to Nat and those of you guys that want on the call to fill you in, Nat got into a slippery slope where he started watching a TV program. It's taken up a couple of his hours on a couple of evenings. Okay. And we discussed that he didn't have that time, and we built it in specifically in times that he could watch it, which we knew Monday to Friday is impossible. So it's not saying any of these things are unequivocally bad, but they all have a place. And if it's coming at a cost of your progression or kind of you bridging and closing that gap, then you've got to warrant you to what ask yourself a question: is this serving me? If it isn't serving, you'd be strong enough to remove it. Okay, and that's always the hard part is because we're stuck in kind of these practices that have been in our systems for years and years and years. And change is hard. Okay, change is difficult. But if it was easy, everybody would do it. So being the man that makes that change, not for yourself, but for the people around you and those sort of things, you won't regret it, simply is what I'm trying to say. Okay, so again, finishing off with that last point, discipline requires reversing and kind of going against the beaten track of what everybody else is doing. My view is I don't want to be the same as everybody else. You tell me to go, if 95 people go right, I'm going left because I'm more interested in kind of the opposite. Because if we look at the state of the world right now and why you guys are here in this system, we don't want to be the same as everyone. We want to be leaders. We want to be kind of flag bearers for the new kind. I always say I'm trying to kind of redevelop the dad bod. I've got to 40. I don't look too bad. So just we're kind of trying to reverse what societal norms have told us up to this point. And then I tried to put it in a little bit of an execute equation for you in the slide above. So constant execution requires biology plus environment plus identity. And going back to my original point, if any of these are weak, then typically motivation is going to disappear. So being able to self-analyze with your self-audit, with your 16-hour audit, kind of which one of these areas are you lacking and what can be improved? So like we always say, it's these marginal gains. We're not looking for wholesale improvement. We're understanding where our limiters are and one by one, kind of removing those and essentially seeing the progress and almost the consistency move forward. And then lastly, I've just created a couple of slides, which again will hopefully be of relevance for you guys, just to give you almost a formula for success when it comes to the things that I've spoken about. So action creates competence, competence creates confidence, confidence creates motivation. A bit of a tongue twister, but kind of it just gives you a flow of kind of wherever you are. And for those of you guys that are watching this, if you want to take a photo of these, as always, take a photo. But obviously, the replay will be available for you guys as well. And then the compound effect. So for me, the word transformation has never been about one workout, one meal, one week. It's about years of small decisions. Okay. It's kind of just understanding that success itself is simply consistently aligned with standards. I often speak to my guys about looking too far in front. Yes, you want big goals that scare you, but the goal of today is to own Wednesday, execute, own, start again on Thursday. Again, the clock goes to zero, we go again. And if you focus on what you want, end goal, and kind of keep that in your peripheral and understand that kind of where you're moving to, but just focus on kind of knocking off the days one at a time. That's going to build consistency, that's going to build momentum, and most importantly, it's going to yield results. And you slowly start to become the person that you want to be. And it all starts with standards, identifying your values. So we've spoke about values before, identifying and truly authentically understanding oneself and who you want to be and what you want to be known for. Okay. So just ensuring that transformation itself is a very broad word. It's not just how you look. Okay. I've always said, I will get you in great shape. That's the easy part. But can I make you a better man? Can I make you a better partner, a better husband, a better father, a better friend, a better colleague? And that for me is transformation. So throughout this process, I want you guys to kind of examine all the areas and constantly be auditing yourself. Am I doing, being more present with my family? Am I showing up better for the people that work for me or I work for? Am I kind of consistently making progress when it comes to kind of the composition element? So being better around is super important. So the last slide, I've got a few points just to kind of bring everything together. So for me, you know, I always like to leave you with a question, a challenge, and kind of a final thought. So the question here for me, or the real question, is very much you already know what to do. So the question going back to what we said right at the start, who are you and what's the identity you choose to live as? The man who knows or the man who executes? Okay, so again, we live in a world full of abundance of information. So I don't want you guys to be the guys that know, because a lot of you know. I want you to be the guys that execute. Okay, so the challenge for the next 30 days is simply one thing: execute like a professional. Okay, not emotionally, not occasionally, but systematically. Okay, with a plan. Because the man you're going to, the man that you're going to become is built through the standards that you tolerate. So a li after this call and after you guys that are listening later date, is just examine your environment, examine all the factors that I've spoken about today, and where are you lacking? Be honest. There's no one in the room judging you. There's nothing saying that you're a bad person, but be brutally honest with yourself. Okay. And for the next 30 days, execute like a professional. And a final thought, you guys know I love a saying, kind of your body is watching, your children are watching, your future self is watching. And the question is simple: are your actions aligned with the man you say you want to be? Okay. And that's it from me today. Obviously, I'm going to stop sharing my slides so I can get a visual on more of you guys, because I know I can only really see kind of Matt and Mike. So any questions, I'm going to open up the floor, kind of happy to hear your thoughts, kind of if anybody wants to share kind of their experiences or what they took from that and kind of questions that it's allowed them to ask themselves,
I'm just gonna
then
say,
please do.
man, Dan, you're an incredible teacher. That was phenomenal. Like, I would give you a standing ovation if I could, man. That was super useful. I think I hope everyone else found some value in that. One thing I do want to add, I think that, tell me if I'm wrong, is there three problems everyone is experiencing? Clarity, energy, and stress. Those generally the three things most people are challenged with. Clarity on what to do next and how to do it. Energy, like, gosh, sometimes I'm tired and sometimes I feel overstressed. Is there something else? So that's on the, we'll call that's on the stability side. Some people are trying to stabilize and some people are trying to optimize. So if you're trying to stabilize, it's usually those three things. If you're trying to optimize, sometimes you're like, man, I just want to get shredded and build my pecs, which is a different solution. But on the negative side, or on like the kill the alligator close to the boat, is there anything outside of those three? Clarity, what the hell do I do? Energy, sometimes I'm too tired to do it. And three, I feel really stressed and overwhelmed, and sometimes I don't take action. Are those three it? Okay, so let's talk about that if that is it. Clarity is irrelevant. Action is all that's needed. When we talk about stress resilience, okay, so you need, great, thanks, really. So that's probably the lack of energy, right? You could call it motivation, but it's energy. If I doubled your energy, you wouldn't be lazy. So here's a here. It's funny that I'm wearing this shirt. Does everyone know what the warrior monk is? The warrior and the monk is this metaphoric expression of someone who works hard and someone who relaxes well, meaning I push harder than I feel comfortable with, and I learn the skill of relaxation. And so most people live this life that's sort of this like lukewarm. You never really push hard, you never really relax. There's this progressive narrowing toward this midline that is sort of this no man's land where you don't want to be. So here's the action item I encourage you guys. So if you want to improve stress resilience, or if you want to improve energy, if you want to improve energy, you just need to work a little harder than you want to. That's it. So the body is required. You have to move a little harder and work a little harder than you want to. That will give you more energy. That'll drive the warrior. And every time you step out into the gym or step out into life, you work a little harder than you want to. That drives the warrior. On the other side of that, the skill of relaxation is literally a skill. The single number one action item you can take to change your stress is breathing, learning how to relax, breathing. So there's your two action items. Work harder than you want to, than you feel like it, and learn the skill of relaxation, which is ultimately just breathing. And what we're trying to do is ultimately push these two center points further and further away from each other. That's it. If you do that, actions become clear, energy becomes abundant, and stress melts away because you become so much more resilient to stress. And I could talk about this stuff forever, but I think Dad did an incredible job, Dan. Thank you, man.
No
And the
worries.
identity piece was really, really nicely added.
Thank you, mate. I won't pretend that I wasn't under an exponential amount of pressure seeing your face come on the call, but I get as soon as I saw you come in the room, I was like, oh my God, here we go. Yeah, so I hope I did the team proud, mate. But
I like to
no,
see you
any
too.
other questions for you guys before we let you get off and enjoy? Because it's earlier there, isn't it? It's an hour earlier at the moment for those of you guys that are in the US. So any questions before we let you guys get off?
What's the one thing you're going to take away from this today, boys? What's the one action item? Dan talked about a lot. But life is so simple, and yet we make it seem so difficult. You don't need more information. You need a fundamental shift in the way you think. That's the identity. You don't need more information. You need to think differently. So if you've always thought in the same way, shift it. Find a value switch somewhere. So a fundamental shift in your thinking is looking at a problem from a different lens, which means you just take on a different value system. Like, hey, I used to value comfort, now I value progress. I used to value connection, now I value, I don't know, growth. You know, like you just have to shift, and literally, like, you can literally have a fundamental shift. And I don't want to give too many examples, but I'm happy to if you guys are curious. Yeah, the monk is the centered version of yourself. So if you lack clarity, you just center yourself, you eliminate noise and distraction. And you become present in your body. And I could give you very specific action items if anybody wants it. You want to see it, Mike?
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing something
Yeah.
from you on
So
that.
the absence of clarity is almost always the presence of chaos or distraction, right? So if I lack clarity, it's because I'm distracted, right? So I'm thinking about multiple things. So here, I'll rewind for a second. So the world we live in, at least for me, is very high demand. There's a lot of demands on my brain, there's a lot of demands on my body, there's a lot of demands on my energy, a lot of demands on my time. That's not going away. Agree? That's not going away. We all want to learn more, we all want to look better, we all want to earn more, we all want to understand artificial intelligence, what the hell is coming in the world, we want to be great dads and partners, whatever, you know, there's an infinite number of things. That's not going to change. So what needs to change is our ability to act with effectiveness, which is clarity. Right? So the absence of clarity is the presence of distraction or chaos. So how do we create clarity? I believe you have to have clarity of purpose or clarity of mission, which are not necessarily the same, because mission is time bound. I have a 30-day mission or a 60-day mission or a 90-day mission. It's time bound. Purpose is infinite. So let's say we have a mission and we create clarity on what that mission is. And we open up every day and we say, I'm going to get clear on what I have to do and eliminate distractions. How do we eliminate distractions? By becoming present in our body. What does it mean to become present in our body? We experience the world through five senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we taste, and what we smell. in this moment, you can only experience life through the five senses or through your ruminating mind. The only way to turn down your ruminating mind and become completely present in the moment is by feeling what's happening in your five senses, literally experiencing your five senses. So right now I can feel the temperature in the room. I can feel the pressure of my butt against the chair. I can feel the tension of the muscle in my neck. I can feel the scowl in my face, whatever. You know, you have this sensory experience. And if I experience it deeply, all of the noise falls away because it can't be there. And the better I get at being present in my body or my breath, the more I can eliminate the distracted mind and focus on what's most important. And if you know what's most important because you've already cast a clear vision or mission, then it's easy to know what to do, right? So like learning what to do every day, every week, every month to move you in the direction of that mission. And I always talk about in our mentorship stuff, I talk about the mission, the map, and the mentor. We need a mission, which is where am I going and what's the time frame? We need a map, which is what am I doing today? We need a mentor because humans condense time. So if you guys want to figure out what your mission is, reach out. We're all happy to support you on that stuff. But that's how you get clear. That's how you get clear and you get inspired when you're making progress, right? Is that helpful?
Very much so. Absolutely. Yeah. I think when I hearing you say that too, just for myself, getting more more clear on what my mission would be would definitely help.
Man, so guys put so much fear or weight in a mission. A mission can be a week, a month, or a year. It's not infinite, right? So a mission right now could be, man, I'm going to get the 10% body fat. That's a worthwhile mission. Go get it. And there's no once you commit to the mission, there's no other options, right? So you go, I'm going to go do it. And you got to create bite-sized chunks of processes and steps for you to get there. That's it. I'm like, it doesn't have to, I think a lot of guys are like, I'm not sure if I want to do that forever. Mission is not forever. A mission is like, I'm going to accomplish one goal. And man, if for some of you, it's small, right? So this is the concept of functional capacity. Some of you taking on a small mission is all you need. You're like, dude, I'm just going to wake up and have breakfast. I'm going to eat protein for breakfast. That's a mission. Right? Or I'm going to get to bed by 9 o'clock and turn my phone off by 8 o'clock. That's a mission. You have to identify your constraints and build a mission around your constraints. Or you have to identify your goals and build a mission around your goals. It's not complicated. You just need a fundamental shift in the way you think about things. Everyone's looking for incremental progress, which I don't think is what we should be looking for. We should be looking for exponential leaps, because an exponential leap can happen from a fundamental shift in the way you think about life. You keep thinking about it the same way, you're going to keep getting what you always got. That's the identity piece. Does that make sense? What other questions? Sorry about this light. Enjoying the sunset here in Costa Rica. Well, guys, if there's no other questions, listen, Dan and I will stay here. Dan, it's midnight for Dan, so Dan, go to sleep. I'll stick around and answer questions if you guys want. But if not, I'll let you guys go and get about your day. The sun in my face.
Enjoy Costa Rica, brother.
Thanks, man. Dan, great presentation, man. That was really, really phenomenal. Thank you. And thank you guys all for being here. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Thank you guys all for being here. See you guys all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.